the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up this morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian, good morning.
Good morning. Happy June 1st.
Oh, my goodness. And it's the first day of hurricane season. So we ask for Our Lady of Palm Sucker to please protect us.
Amen.
During this season. Get prepared now. We never know what's going to happen, but I always say get prepared early because you just never know.
Yep, so. You never know is right. Well, we always want to keep that in mind, and before today is over, we'll offer up a prayer to Our Lady of Palm Sucker. But today, being the feast day of St. Justin the Martyr, we're going to offer up a prayer and ask his intercession. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us St. Justin Martyr as an example of holiness. Help us to imitate the virtue he showed in opening himself up to your will for him when he chose to convert to Christianity. Pray for me that I may open myself up more to God's will in my life each and every day. Pray that I may be eager to dedicate my life to God. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Justin Martyr, pray for us.
Pray for us. Also, I loved your sound effects, Damien, your wind sound effects. So I just wanted to say that I appreciate that.
Yeah,
so thank you.
back in the day, you had to be creative. You didn't have all those things at your fingertips like you have now.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about. That is coming up in 6 minutes. You can also find all of these events at our website at ccmedia.live. We have some great guests today, starting off with Kathleen Higgins. She is the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. She's going to give us an update of what they are up to for the summer months coming up for youth and young adults. In 35 minutes, David Dawson Jr. joins us. He is the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. And every Thursday, he talks about marriage and family life. Well, today's topic is going to be a good one. We're going to be discussing cultivating gratitude as a family for the food that we eat. And with the price of groceries being sky high, I would say that maybe we're a little bit more grateful these days, maybe. So,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Yes, definitely. Putting food on the table, having something to eat. So Dave's going to give us details about this. And in 48 minutes, Corey Howitt joins us. He is the executive director of the Catholic Community Foundation in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. They do great work over there in the Archdiocese and the Catholic Community Foundation. So he's going to be giving us an update. So
there
looking
you go.
Forward to it.
Yeah. Well, Gabby, guess what? Looks like the dry spell is going to continue weather-wise. We've been experiencing some pretty dry weather, and it looks like it'll continue for another day or two. Sunny with partly cloudy skies expected today. Maybe a stray shower. It might pop up, but it's only a 15% chance that that's going to happen. The high is 91. Low is going to be 69. Winds out of the east at 5 to 10. Tomorrow, pretty much the same scenario with a lesser chance of rain. Only 5%, if you even want to call that a chance of rain. High is going to be 93, and the heat is on, as they say, because it's starting to feel like summer, even though it's still spring. Winds are the northeast at 5 to 10 tomorrow, so a little bit change of direction. And we may see some rain on Saturday, otherwise not until Monday or Tuesday. Temperatures in and around the area right now, it's 71 in Baton Rouge. Over in Houma-Thibodaux and Gulfport, it's 72. On the North Shore, it's 69. And in New Orleans, warm, 77 already. Don't go too far. We have events coming your way on this Thursday morning on Wake Up.
Good morning, I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Mark's gospel portrays Jesus on the way to Jerusalem to embrace his glorious death while leading his disciples on the way to eternal life. At the beginning of this journey, Jesus healed a blind man at Bethsaida. Now, near the end, he heals another blind man, Bartimaeus. Mark framed his narrative with these two miracles in order to teach us that on the way, Jesus was healing the disciples' spiritual blindness. In our journey with the Lord, we have often experienced a similar spiritual healing. Looking back over past sins, don't we often reflect, "Oh, how could I have been so blind? How could I have been so stupid?" The apostles' eyes would not be fully open until Pentecost. We often experience a gradual improvement in our spiritual sightedness, but the full enlightenment will wait until the next life. Jericho is an ancient city 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Situated 850 feet below sea level, it is both the lowest and the oldest continually inhabited city in the world. It was the site of Israel's first conquest as they entered the Holy Land. When Bartimaeus continues to call out to Jesus, he is met with a callous rebuke by some of Jesus' followers. However, he ignores their reprimand and persists. Finally, when Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" he replied, "Master, that I see." When he was healed, he followed Jesus on the way. The Greek verb Mark used for heal, sozo, means save. It captures the idea that Jesus brings eternal salvation along the way. It's amazing how many times during the course of our day that we encounter Jesus in prayer, in family members, friends, co-workers, and even the poor. Are we paying attention? In these meetings with Jesus, do we show the persistence and enthusiasm of Bartimaeus? Perhaps we don't need to be healed physically, but what about spiritually? Do we really want to see? If enlightened, how willing are we to change the direction of our life and follow Jesus all the way? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sayers.
Wise words, Jimmy. Thank you for that. It's 11 after the hour on this Thursday morning. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for watching also on Catholic Life Television in Baton Rouge. So glad to have you with us. Number of events taking place, and here's one of them. This Saturday, June 3rd at 10 a.m. at the St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans, Archbishop Amon will ordain deacons David Doyle, Corey Ford, Long Pham, and Kevin Say to the Presbyteriate, I hope I said that right, for the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Please keep these men in your prayers because they are going to be doing a lot of God's work in the future.
Yes. And if you go check out our Facebook page, you can search Catholic Community Media. We shared a video from NOLA Vocations. And the video is kind of a fun, laid back video with these deacons. And they talk about what they're most looking forward to as a future, you know, for their future.
Yeah.
And as the days go on toward their ordinations. So really a lovely video. Definitely take a look at that. Or you can go to NOLA Vocations on Facebook to look at that video. Well, Damian, the semi-annual five-day St. Jude Novena of Hope is to be held at St. Mary Magdalene Church in Metairie. The novena starts on Monday, June 5th, and ends Friday, June 9th. The novena is daily at 12:15 p.m. and nightly at 6:30 p.m. There will be a rosary at 11:45 and nightly at 6 p.m. And the officiant will be Father Patrick Carr, pastor of St. Rita Catholic Church in New Orleans, and spiritual director Deacon James LeBlanc. So definitely check that out. You can find it all on our website at ccmedia.live.
Have you ever lost your spouse due to a divorce, death, or separation? If you're having trouble coping, well, help is available. Beginning Experience Ministry under the New Orleans Archdiocese of Family Life Office will begin a 10-week program entitled Coping with Life Alone. It's to help those struggling to cope with their loss. It's going to be Wednesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. It begins June 7th. And it's going to go through August 9th at the St. Angela Merisi Church Conference Room adjacent to the church on Melody Drive in Metairie. So make a note of that. If you need more information, go to ccmedia.live.
And the Women's Cursillo Weekend is coming up June 22nd to the 25th in the Diocese of Biloxi. And the men's next Cursillo will be in September from the 21st to the 24th. Both will be held at the Sacred Heart Retreat Center in Dito. To register and find out more information, you can go to BiloxiCursillo.org or ccmedia.live.
There you go. And also, the Summer Rock Retreat at St. Peter Catholic Church in Covington. It's for the Junior CYO. It's going to be taking place June 24th. Give those young people something to do during the summer. It's going to be held at the Solomon Episcopal Center in LaGranger from 10 until 7. Lunch and dinner will be provided, so you don't even have to bag a lunch or anything. There's going to be talks, prayers, adoration, mass. You must register by next Friday, the 9th of June. And you can go to ccmedia.live to get more details and all the information. So there you have it. A lot of things going on in our area. We got a lot more coming up with Kathleen Higgins in just a minute.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for June 1st. Today we celebrate St. Justin Martyr. Justin, who lived in the 2nd century, is the first Christian philosopher. His search for religious truth was a lifelong task. Born into a pagan family in Judea, Justin described himself as a Gentile. After years of studying pagan philosophies, including the school of Plato, he realized that the Christian religion answered the great questions about life and existence better than the philosophers did. Following his conversion, he continued to wear the philosopher's mantle. He combined the Christian religion with the best elements of Greek philosophy. In his view, philosophy was the teacher that leads one to Christ. Justin is known as an apologist, one who in writing defends the Christian religion against attacks and misunderstandings. Two of his apologies have come down to us, one addressed to the Roman Emperor and the other to the Roman Senate. Statements from his first apology are some of the earliest existing expressions of the Eucharist. As punishment for his staunch adherence to Christianity, Justin was tried and beheaded in Rome, probably in the year 165. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up This Morning. Hey, next week, starting on Monday, begins our week-long summer pledge drive. We'll have 2 hours of Wake Up with fun guests during each segment. So it'll be just Wake Up and a carbon copy of Wake Up at 8. So 2 hours of Wake Up Monday through Friday of next week. But we also come to you to ask for help during that week to keep Catholic Community Media on the air in your local area, expanding, reaching the homebound, reaching those who need to hear the truth about the Catholic faith. So definitely save those dates, June 5th through the 9th. That's coming up starting next Monday at 7 a.m. Kathleen Higgins now joins us. She is the director of the Youth and Young Adult Ministry for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be back. You know, I'm always here. I'm always a call away.
Kathleen, it's always wonderful to have you be with us, especially in the morning. I feel like you're just a warm cup of coffee with full of energy and life. So how has life been over at the Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the diocese?
So good. Yeah, I laugh because we had our, you know, quote unquote, end of the year gathering with our youth ministers. But the reality is that some of their ministry is gearing up, you know, for the summer, you know, months. And there's so much going on that, you know, it's not, there is no break, you know, so they're, we had our end of the year gathering. We just hired a new coordinator, Trey Weaver, for the office. So the office is complete once again. And in our office, you know, we really are taking advantage of the summer to really look at what the purpose of our office is. We're revisiting our mission statement. We're in talks with Bishop Duca about what he, you know, wants for youth ministry. And really it's a good reset for our office internally. And that's been really exciting because there's been a few months where, I've been in the office by myself and I've been what I call dreaming and scheming. And so having all these ideas and really having to kind of wait until we had that second person in our coordinator. And now it's such a cool opportunity to really look forward into the next year. We've been talking, I think I've talked about this, the last time I came. Really, there's a shift in our church, especially we see it with our young people, for a need for relational ministry, discipleship, accompaniment. Those are kind of the buzzwords that we're throwing around, but that they really need an invitation and then, you know, a relationship with who's ministering to them. You know, they're not going to come to youth group just because there's pizza and silly games, you know, which is, I mean, look, I love me some pizza, but they're really looking for real conversation. They're looking for the truth of what the faith teaches, and they're looking for somebody to walk with them in that. And so, what's exciting is that it's kind of exciting and daunting that we as a church don't really know how to do that. We don't really excel at relational ministry, but it's cool that people see a need for that, especially our youth ministers, our DREs, people who work with our young people, and there's an excitement to learn how to do that, right? To learn how to enter into those conversations that have what Brian Butler calls eternal significance, right? Over pizza and video games, are you, you know, sharing the gospel with them? What does that look like? We are, as an office, looking at and how to ways that we can kind of just form our ministers, which is really cool because the people in our diocese who work with our young people are incredible. You know, I'm blown away every time we gather together and I see the gifts that they have. Our young people are certainly in good hands. So we're really kind of hunkering down this summer and, like I said, dreaming and scheming and seeing what's next for the young people of the Diocese of Baton Rouge.
Well, you know, and I was in youth group in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and Kathleen, I just remember that being a core memory in my life. Blessed to be a part of the Mercy Teens over at Our Lady of Mercy. But Kathleen, when we were in high school, things were much different than what it is now. How are you getting the parishes to really start engaging young people in a way that they want to be engaged and in a way that they can understand what the Catholic Church really is all about?
Right. Yeah. It's the same. It's the same thing with our youth, with our young adults, as it is with our adults. You know, any adult. I think the invitation has to be there. You know, there's a cultural shift that we've been seeing. You know, and this didn't. You know, people like to blame a lot of things on COVID. This has been happening way before COVID. But there's a cultural shift of, you know, Catholics not coming to the church because it's, you know, it used to just be, that's what we did as a family, you know, as my whole family's Catholic, we've gone to, you know, Catholic Mass my whole life. This is just what we do. And now there's just so much available to us to fill our time, especially our young people, that there needs to be a personal invitation, right? There needs to be, I need to know you, right? That's where the relationship comes in. I need to know you enough or express a desire to know you, to invite you into, you know, or invite you back to what you already know is an important aspect in your life, right? And then inviting them to that personal encounter with Jesus, right? Are they encountering Jesus when they come to youth group? Are they encountering Jesus, you know, when they come to, you know, Mass or the fair? Or I mean, Mass is an easy one, but, you know, when they come to the fair or you know, the Knights of Columbus meeting, is there an encounter with Jesus that makes it different than everything else that they are giving their time to, right? Because those are the times in my life when I was growing up that I was like, yeah, the youth group and going to church is different. You know, it's different than, you know, hanging out with my friends, and it's something that my heart longs for, you know, and what is that? So, you know, we can have all the great programming and all the great dinners and all the great, you know, movie nights that we want. But are they encountering Christ when they spend time in our ministry? Yeah. And then we just give it to God and we go, look.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, and is there a way that parishes or youth leaders can reach out to you guys, maybe for a guide or maybe to start a youth group? Yeah. I think it's just so important to get young people engaged, especially in such a vulnerable age that is the teenage years.
Yeah. Yeah. We, you know, walking with our ministers this year, we have across the spectrum, right? We have volunteers that are, you know, given a couple hours a week to dedicated, that's their title, youth ministers, and everything in between. And so we have people who have established youth groups. We have moms who are calling saying, I want something for my kids. And you know, I asked Father and he said, I'm on deck, you know, and they're building from scratch. And so what's really cool about our office that I get an opportunity to do is to kind of mirror or you know, exemplify that relational ministry. And so I have people who call our office all the time and say, you know, can you help me? And to walk with them, you know, for the specific needs for their parish, is what we, myself and Trey, Dina, our director, we love doing that. And so that's our focus, is our ministers. And so they can call our office, they can, you know, they can email me, khiggins@diobr.org. And we just want to come love on you, support you, you know, see how your parish works, because they're all different, right? All of our parishes are different in the way that they work in the way to approach our teens, right? So our inner city parishes are vastly different from, you know, our parishes that are further out in the country, right? And so it's a kind of a, it has to be tailor-made, you know?
Yeah. Kathleen, Damien here. Good morning to you.
Hey.
Quick question in regards to that. So do you find that you guys are going to start phasing away from the movie nights, you know, that everybody's kind of almost expected? Because it almost seems mundane to a young person. And maybe get some great young people with testimonies to share as a speaker?
Yeah. I think, you know, movie nights and things like that have their place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people have asked, you know, are you never going to do this or that again? No, you know, that's certainly on the table and those things have their place, but it's just a new, you know, exploring new ways, you know, for young people. In fact, Mercy just had their junior high kids form them over a couple of weeks on how to give testimonies and, you know, and how to evangelize, right? So how to share. And so you are looking at more rich content like that. And not that movies can't be, goodness gracious, we're waiting for the Padre Pio movie to come out. You know, I think that's going to be powerful. I think those things have their place for sure.
Definitely. Kathleen Higgins, Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Always a joy when Kathleen joins us. David Dawson Jr. joins us when we return from the break from the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. It is 5:30 on Wake Up.
After the hour. Welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, and our regular friend, David Dawson Jr., Director of the Office of Parish Support with the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. He joins us this morning, and it's all about cultivating gratitude as a family when it comes to food that we eat. Yes, mm-hmm. How often are we thankful for what we put into our mouths to fill our bellies? Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing good. I already had breakfast. How about you?
Good. No, not yet. I'm still working on that.
And I was thankful for it as well.
Good.
Good. Prepping
so
for the
tell
interview.
Tell us a little bit about what you're getting at here, because the first thing that comes to mind is saying grace before meals, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. But really, there's more to it than that, right?
For sure. Yeah. I think one of the, especially as adults, and especially if we're parents and we're responsible for feeding other people, I think eating and just preparing meals can become kind of a grind, getting groceries, we tend to focus on what we don't have in the pantry. We tend to focus on what we don't have in the fridge, just by default, because we're constantly thinking about, you know, when we got to go to the grocery store next. Wouldn't it be nice if we had better food or more food? And I think, honestly, that adds to a natural dynamic that we've had since we were kids sometimes, kind of an immature way of thinking about food as something that we kind of grasp at. There's always a sense that it could be better, it could be more, it could be more varied. There's a sense that, like, you know, we're never truly satisfied. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes from, and this is something that I was challenged with at one point during a period of fasting, honestly. There was a priest who was really, really good at fasting and really, really had some great insights. And he was like, look, if you're not grateful for the crust of bread and some water, you know, that you're fasting on, this sounds overachieving, but just hear me out. If you're not grateful for the crust of bread and a glass of water, then you're missing out on something. And I began to try that. I began to say, am I grateful for this? Or am I looking at this like, ugh, and thinking about what it's not? And I realized how often I am just shoving food in my face and thinking about what's coming next.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm constantly thinking about, like, I need more variety, I need more whatever, like an addict, you know? Like, and I struggle to actually be grateful. And when I can be, when I can stop and be like, isn't it amazing that this is right here in front of me? I didn't even have to make it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What an incredible gift that is. Like, it is the best, and it's such a unique experience. And it hit me how unique it was. Made me feel a little guilty that I've been missing out on that, and I've been kind of a jerk, you know, thinking about what I wasn't eating. But just how often, out of the times that I eat, how often I'm struggling to be grateful, and how seldom I'm really enjoying and just overwhelmed by the gift that I've got in front of me, the gift that's in my fridge, the gift that's in my pantry. I mean, we've got such a variety of foods. We've got it all at our fingertips. And no, it's not, I don't have full control over getting every little thing I could think of. But man, what an awesome gift that we have right in front of us. And it just, yeah, it hit me how unique of a feeling that was.
Yeah. You know, it makes you wonder, because our culture and society over decades has caused a lot of what you're touching on, because we want it now. I mean, the word fast food comes to mind as you were speaking, and it's like instant gratification, and then are you really satisfied after you eat it? You know, because it's processed food when you think about it. But I don't want to get into that angle of it as much as being thankful. I mean, that would be like a little five-year-old, you know, you have this conversation with them, and they go, yeah, I'm so thankful for McDonald's, you know? It's not quite what you're getting at, you know?
No, I think the key is that a lot of times the assumption is, if I don't have my favorite thing, I can't really be happy.
Yeah.
You know? And I think when it comes to food in particular, because it's such a foundational part of our lives, and it's a foundational part of, like, the feeling of hunger and satisfaction, that, like, that same feeling, that same kind of dynamic of hunger and satisfaction, it defines our entire spiritual life, our entire life as human beings, that, like, we've got needs that we're trying to fulfill, that we're, you know, how is God a part of that? How is he not a part of that? Does he care about me? Does he want good things for me? Like, the experience of eating food is such a foundational piece of that, that what I've learned, and this is what, you know, a lot of the spiritual teachers will say, is, like, if you can get it right with food, it will affect every other aspect of your spiritual life and of your relationships and everything, because it's so foundational. So if I'm thinking, like, I can't be happy until I have my favorite thing, mm-hmm. or that one thing that I'm thinking about, or I want to be in total control of making sure I get what I need, not what I want, and it's never going to be enough, I mean, think about how that is affecting the rest of how I go about my day. And we're not usually aware of it, but it is, and it is, it's got huge effects on those things.
Yeah, so not only being grateful for the food that you have, but I like your idea. It wouldn't hurt if we tried to fast once a week, every week, not just during Lent.
Yeah, and that's the church actually challenges us to do that on Fridays, that obviously with meat, you know, and it's been a part of the tradition for a long, long time. And it's if it's not meat, then it's something else that we're offering, you know, that we're fasting. And I think what it does for me is that it gives me a reason to be, and that's, I can, my tendency is to think about what I'm not getting and to be kind of sad and gloomy, even if it's something small, even if the rest of the world is eating a lot less than me, I'm still thinking about what I don't have. And if I can change that and just think about, like, man, what a gift it is to eat what I'm eating, and just to savor each little bite, even if it's just a piece of toast, you know, like, just to be able to savor the bite of that, because it's good, you know. And it's funny how often we miss out on such good things because it's not that one favorite thing that we're thinking about, you know.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And as part of your fast for breakfast, you only get one, after you pop some toast, you only get one bite, and then you got to leave the rest. And then for for lunch, you can only have one bite of the sandwich, and you got to leave the rest. That is truly fasting.
Well, you're touching on something here
that's interesting.
Well, no, just like, if you didn't enjoy it, sorry, you got to move on.
No, but think about it. You would enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, boy, that was good. I want another one, but I'm going to force myself not to, as a form of prayer. And I want to touch on real quick before time wraps up. Recently, I read that 52% of Catholics say grace before meals. Are you surprised at that number? Do you think it higher, lower? And the reason I ask
that is because
a form of thanksgiving for the food you're about to eat.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I think it's a lot of it's habit. I'm not sure how often we're thinking about it. But I think the habitual practices for Catholics is certainly, you know, kind of the numbers are shrinking. I think, though, that if we are saying grace, that to focus on what we're saying, I have found that makes a difference to kind of set my mind like that I'm actually thanking God for this. What I discovered, though, is when I did start thinking about it, how there is a sneaky little feeling in there that's like, I don't want to thank God for this, because I want what I want, and I'm not really sure I want him to be a part of that. I'm not really sure I want him to be in control of whether I get what I want or not. Like, I want to just get some food and put it in my face, you know, and to have to stop and say grace, does it feel like a burden to me? To have to actually thank him for giving me this, does it feel like I'm giving him too much credit? Because that for me was a huge sign that, like, I've got some struggles here with my image of God, with my pride and everything. So that, I think that to be more aware of these little kind of subtle movements of the heart, mm-hmm. will give us some very clear understandings of maybe where we have some need for growth. And that's a good thing, to be able to see need for growth in our spiritual life. So if anything I'm saying sounds challenging, praise God, because it gives us a way to say, because he's not going to leave us here. If God shows us that we're struggling with something, he's not going to leave us there. So seeing grace can be a powerful indicator for sure.
Yes, it's a good example for your children, especially if you explain why you're saying the grace. And it's not, don't be afraid to do it in public either. I mean, it is a thanksgiving to God for the food you're going to eat. So, Dave, any last words in the final 30 seconds?
No, I think that's good. I think that the grace is a great place to start to kind of focus on what I'm saying. Do I actually mean this? And try to maybe kind of work that angle, and then just be grateful for each bite. See how that goes. I think it's that to me is a game changer, and it kind of changes the foundation of how we approach the spiritual life.
Should I ask you what you're going to have for lunch?
I have no idea. No idea.
You just got to be thankful that you have it, right?
That's exactly right.
All right, my brother. You know I like to tease you. David Dawson Jr., Director of Office of Parish Support in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Hey, if you're not doing anything, maybe give him a call and take him to lunch. I guarantee you he'll be thankful.
I'll be grateful.
That's what he's doing for lunch.
Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right, my brother. Ah, nice. Some good words there, Gabby.
That's right. I'm having a sandwich for lunch.
There you go.
If you are wondering.
Yeah.
What are you having for lunch?
You really want to know? Boudin.
That's it?
That's it. I'm just going to have some boudin. That's all I need, babe. That'll take care of this Italian Cajun. In the meantime, don't go away. We've got more coming your way on Wake Up. It's 10 till.
It is 48 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up. Our summer pledge drive starts next Monday, June 5th, and runs all week long to June 9th. Our summer pledge drive is a wonderful way to support Catholic Community Media and continue to keep us streaming and playing on the air. So if you love listening to Wake Up, that's because of donors like you, because we are 100% donor funded. So please consider donating.
It's our way of
starting next week.
Our way of spreading the good news and at the same time keeping the truth alive in our community.
Definitely. Well, another supporter of Catholic Community Media is Corey Howitt. Corey is the executive director of the Catholic Community Foundation over in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Hey, Corey, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me so much.
It's great for you to join us, and we always love getting a little update from you. So tell us, what is the Catholic Community Foundation up to these days?
Well, you know, generosity never goes to sleep. And so we are continuing to push forward with the very work of the foundation as we, part of our message is that we foster generosity and strengthen the body of Christ. And so we're always looking to do that in many ways. Obviously, that journey starts with the heart, because true generosity starts with the heart and through prayer and relationship with God. And we continue to be able to work to just try to build generosity. You know, we really and deeply are convicted that generosity really is when our community is at our best, is when we're generous. And so we just try to look at ways to be able to not only build that starting through the parish, but in Catholic schools and in ministries across the diocese. And so when we, and our region, and so when we really try to help build that up, we get the great gift of watching generosity come alive, not only through small ways, but also through big, magnanimous ways.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, our listeners, a little bit more about what the Catholic Community Foundation does. You know, many of us know you with I Give Catholic, because I Give Catholic started in the Archdiocese with the Catholic Community Foundation.
That is correct. Yeah. So we, as a foundation, we tried to look at the many different ways to be able to build generosity. And really that's from two audiences. One, directly with a Catholic donor. We have many tools from annuities to donor advised funds that help the Catholic donor to be able to build their generosity. And when I say tools, it's financial tools. Donor advised funds like a charitable checkbook. But we also have programs from the Community Foundation side, and the Community Foundation side specifically for us includes programs like our Women's Giving Circle, which just wrapped up, and our I Give Catholic Day. I Give Catholic, as many people know, helps build small philanthropy, but celebrates it universally. through the church. And so we really look in serving these two audiences, the Catholic donor directly, but also to be able to help the parishes, schools, and ministries connect better with their parishioners and with their supporters, to be able to learn that this great gift of not only being generous and giving financially, but also praying and sustaining ministry is an important part of our ministry as a church, as a part of our evangelization and our outreach into the larger community. And so we try to work across the board to be able to help. And I know that's a big mouthful to bite off, but it starts with small gifts, and I Give Catholic is a great way of that. And here we are 6 months out from that, so... But the work never stops.
Well, Corey, I've seen it firsthand. You know, we were all in the same building at Howard Avenue. You guys were just a couple of floors below us. So I saw you guys in action daily and doing just the wonderful work that you do, helping parishioners, helping those who are in Catholic schools and so many others as well, from things like just trying to raise money for a new bathroom in the back of Mass or lights in a parking lot. You guys have made that stuff happen. So, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about as well, and we have a little bit of time here, is I Give Catholic. We're only a few months away. I know that's coming up. It's usually around, it's Giving Tuesday. It's right after Thanksgiving. It seems far away, but for those parishes who want to participate in something like this, it has exponentially grown since it has started. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about maybe when are the dates and how can they get started or maybe start thinking about participating in I Give Catholic, because it can really help them?
Sure. No, it's the neat part about the I Give Catholic Day is it creates almost, if you will, a mini campaign that can work within your regular stewardship and care of the donors. But it really is a, you know, giving, financially giving and generosity is really just an invitation into a joint ministry. And so when we say that work is year round, it really does mean that throughout the year that those, not only are you preparing, if you will, for that time of the campaign, but you're going back and reaching. So if you imagine if somebody gave a gift this past I Give Catholic, now is a great time for parishes and schools and ministries to reach out to those donors. I call it reaching out, truly sharing love letters, being able to show the impact of this ministry, show them how much you love them, from the ministry side, but also from the donor side, that this is a way to be able to dive in more, to be able to learn how to volunteer and to really find yourself connected to a ministry. We know that God gives us the community to be able to live our faith through. And so this is not a second-hand sport. It really is to be able to get your hands dirty and to be engaged and to really kind of help join the ministry. And that is the great gift of nonprofits in our community and a day like I Give Catholic that allows the donor and the ministry to connect. And so that's a year-round process, but it is one of deep engagement and love, true love.
Corey Howitt, Executive Director of the Catholic Community Foundation in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Corey, where can we go to find out more information about what the Catholic Community Foundation does?
Sure. Always online, www.ccfnola.org. That's Catholic Community Foundation, so it's ccfnola.org. And reach out to me. You can find my contact information in there. And that includes questions about how do I become more generous through my will. We have a tax credit program through the state that allows Catholic school affordability. There's just so many options. Really, the question is pray, ask the Lord to show you how to be more generous, and we can help in that journey as it's deeply personal but deeply touching. Gabby, speaking of generous, thanks for always having us, allowing us to update, and continued prayers for the great growth of your ministry, y'all's ministry. And really grateful for you.
Thank you so much, Corey. We're grateful for you and everyone over at the Catholic Community Foundation. Definitely check them out. CCFNOLA.org. Thanks, Corey.
All right. Blessings, everyone.
Yeah, God bless. Couple of notes before we wrap up today. I don't know if y'all heard, but Abbot Justin Brown over at St. Joseph Abbey, St. Ben's as well, he is stepping down after 22 years of service. He's been the fifth abbot, so they're going to have number six, coming up. And also, I want to mention that we all should be praying for Father Jeffrey Montz. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor. He's asking for prayers, but he's also asking your prayers through the intercession of the Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen. And that's because of the fact that if there's a miracle attributed, in this case, to Jeffrey, then that would be attributed to also Bishop Sheen. And boy, it'd be a double miracle, huh? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And Father Jeffrey, I should say, is theologian at teaches theology at Notre Dame Seminary. He's also a fellow Shalmatian. So I want to let him know that we're praying for him as well. Yeah, he went to Our Lady of Promsucker Church as a young boy. In fact, speaking of Our Lady of Promsucker, hurricane season begins today. Hopefully we'll never see one, and we're going to offer up a prayer in regards to that. Our Father in heaven, through the intercession of Our Lady of Promsucker, spare us during this hurricane season from all harm. Protect us and our homes from all disasters of nature. Our Lady of Promsucker, hasten to help us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.